Well, the future holds a great fascination for many people. That is why you will find people going to get their palms read. They will go and practice the occult with their tarot cards or their fortune tellers. And many in the world are held into these superstitions concerning the future. And even within the professing Christian church, the future holds a great fascination for many people. If you turn on any of the religious TV channels, you'll not be long before you find somebody talking about future events and giving their interpretation of what they think is going to happen. There will normally be big charts behind them, and they'll point us to what they expect to happen in the future. But with the fascination of the future among many people, something is lost amongst it all. Something very serious. And it is the solemnity of the future. What the future holds for men and women whenever they die. For some, the return of Christ will be a wonderful time. The Saviour that they have believed upon, they will see, and they will see physically with their own eyes. They'll behold their King in all his glory. But for others, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ will be the beginning of their misery. Let me explain very simply. What will happen on that last day on this earth when our Saviour returns in all his glory? First of all, there will be a great shout, and a trumpet will sound. The Lord Jesus Christ will appear with thousands of holy angels and the souls of all the redeemed saints and children of God. The earth will be consumed with a fire. The universe as a whole will pass away. All the souls who ever lived will be gathered together. Those who are alive in earth, they'll not die as other men. They will undergo a change equivalent to a death and a resurrection. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, they will be changed. The dead will be resurrected also, and we'll all be gathered before the judgment seat of Christ. And this judgment will commence before his great white throne. Now there are some, and they believe that there will be two judgments. They say that believers will be judged before the judgment seat of Christ, and sinners will be judged before the great white throne. But Scripture makes it clear that there's one day of judgment, there is one judgment seat, and there is one judgment time. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, the Apostle Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether good or bad." Romans 10:14, Paul said, "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." We read earlier in Acts chapter 17, when the Apostle Paul preached in Athens and said that the Lord hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me be very clear. There's one day of judgment. There is one judgment throne, the great white throne. And there is one judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers and unbelievers will be gathered before that throne and judged. Satan and his demons will be judged before that throne. And dear friend, let me make it very personal tonight. I will be judged before that throne. And you will be judged before that great white throne. And this is very serious. You might make plans for this incoming week. You might make plans for your summer holidays next year, and those plans might never come to happen. But there is one event that you will never miss. One event that you can never avoid. One event that you are certain to be at. And it is judgment at the great white throne of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at this very serious subject tonight of the great white throne. Several things I want to say about this throne. First of all, let me tell you that it is a real throne. The Apostle John says the words, "And I saw." In this heavenly vision that the Apostle John has, he describes a real throne. I saw a great white throne. This is not a fictional throne that John has invented. This is not a throne that the Savior has told him to write about in an allegorical fashion. No, it is a real throne. And the rest of Scripture assures us that our Savior has a throne. Psalm 93, verse 2, thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. Psalm 103, 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Many other verses besides. The point is, dear friends, that our Savior has a real throne. Now, there's many people in the world tonight. In fact, there's many people in Market Hill, and they hope that I'm telling lies. They hope that I'm wrong about there being a great white throne from which Christ will judge the nations. Many people in Market Hill are hoping that the Bible is wrong on this point. They accept that it's right in many other points, but they're hoping that it's wrong about Christ judging them before the great white throne. But dear friend, this is as real as me standing before you tonight. Christ has a great white throne. It is a real throne. And one day we will all stand before it. So it's a real throne. Let me move on and say that it is a great throne. John says, he didn't just say, I saw a white throne. He put the word great in there. I saw a great white throne. Now, we look at the courthouses of our land and their big, spectacular buildings. The height of them, the splendor of them, emphasizes their power and their greatness. Whenever you go into a court chamber, the judge will normally be seated high above everybody else on a special desk with a pulpit, if you like, surrounding him, indicating the power and authority that he has. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to commit judgment on the world from a kitchen chair or from a deck chair. The throne from which he judges the world will be a great throne. And it's a great throne because of, first of all, the person who sits upon it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But it's also great because of the authority that rests upon the one who sits in the throne. All power is given unto me, the Savior said. And the one who will sit in that throne is not impotent. He's not one who lacks power or authority. No, he is the one who has power in heaven and in earth, and he has the power to judge. So it is a great throne. It is greater than any throne that has ever existed here upon earth. The mightiest king or queen who has ever ruled and has perhaps ruled many nations, their throne pales in insignificance to the great white throne of Christ. So it's a real throne, it's a great throne. But John also says it's a white throne. He's specific about the color. Now, there's not many thrones in this world that are white. Many of them are gold or silver or brass or some precious metal adorned with precious rubies. But John speaks about a white throne. Well, why the color white? Well, white is the color that is associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ will come on a white cloud, riding a white horse, and then he will sit on a white throne. Well, the color white is associated with holiness, and the Lord Jesus Christ is holy. Psalm 48, verse 7 speaks of the throne of his holiness. White is a symbol of purity. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the pure, spotless, sinless Lamb of God. White also speaks of justice. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the just judge. He is not a crooked judge. He is not one who can be deceived. He is not one who can be bribed. He is the perfect, holy, and just judge. Psalm 89, verse 14, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne, and truth shall go before thy face. Psalm 97, verse 2, righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. So, dear friend, this throne speaks of God. The whiteness of this throne speaks of God's holiness. It speaks of the justice of Christ. It speaks of his purity. So the white throne indicates the holiness of the judge who will sit upon it. Let me move on to say that this great white throne is Christ's throne. Verse 11, the Apostle John speaks of him that sat on it. There's one who will sit in this throne. And who's that going to be? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 17, he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, the man whom he raised from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So the one who will sit on this throne is both man and God, and that can only be said of our blessed Saviour. Kings, rulers of the world, they sit on their thrones. Their throne is a symbol of their power. Their throne speaks of their royalty. Their throne speaks of their power to judge. Well, the one who will sit on this throne and judge the nations is the God-man. And no one will be able to accuse the Lord Jesus Christ of not identifying with humanity, because he is the one who took upon himself a real body. He is the one who lived a perfect life of obedience to the law. He was in all points real like we were. He wept over the death of his friend Lazarus. He went to weddings and he rejoiced over those who were getting married. He had a real and true humanity. So, dear friend, you'll not be able to stand before God and say, you don't understand how hard it was for me as a human, as a sinner, to live and not sin. You've never done it. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ will be able to answer and say, I have done it. I lived a perfect life. I lived a life without sin, so I did it, so I know what you were going through. Only I was without sin. So this throne is Christ's throne. John 5:22, the Apostle John said, or the Saviour said, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. It is Christ's throne. And think about that tonight, dear friend. The one who we present to you as your Saviour, the one who we plead with you to come to and believe upon, he is one day going to be your judge. Today he is your Saviour. Today you can believe upon him. But whenever you leave this world, it's too late. It's too late to believe in the next life. Too late to believe in hell. You must believe now, because the one who is your Saviour is one day going to be your judge. Well, let me move on and say that men cannot hide from this throne. There's many people think that on the day of judgment, they'll not be there. I remember one man I was trying to witness to telling me that he had a plan for how he would avoid God's judgment. He said, I'm going to be cremated. I'm going to have my ashes scattered in the sea, and then I'll never have to worry about facing God's judgment. Well, dear friend, God made man from the dust of the ground, and he will recreate every person who's been cremated. Every body that has been dissolved in the ground will be resurrected again. There is no place for men to hide. And this is what we find in verse 11. It says at the end of that verse, and there was found no place for them. No place to hide for sinners who plan to avoid the judgment seat of Christ. God will summons each and every one of us before that throne. In Revelation 6 verse 16, there were those who said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Oh, many will pray and hope that the day of judgment is not real. They'll try to avoid it. But dear friend, you can't escape it. You cannot hide from the throne. The dead will be there also. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Verse 13 tells us, and the sea gave up the dead. Verse 13 goes on to say, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Oh, dear friend, the dead will be there too. When a person dies now, their soul either goes to God's heaven or God's hell, and their body is laid in the ground. But there'll be that day when body and soul are reunited. Souls will be brought from heaven and reunited with their resurrected bodies. Sinners will be brought out of hell and resurrected with their bodies. The dead will appear before this throne, as will the living. And then what will happen? As we're all gathered before the throne of Christ, the great white throne, we are told in verse 12 that the books were opened. The books will be opened. You'll be gathered before the throne and the books will be opened. What books are these? Well, the book of Scripture containing the law will be opened, and the law will be presented before you. Have you kept the law perfectly? And not one of us will be able to say that we've kept the law perfectly, but the Word of God will be a witness against us. Have we kept the Word of God? Have we obeyed the commands and the precepts? Especially, have you obeyed the command to repent of your sin and believe the gospel? Another book will be opened, not just the book of Holy Scripture, but the book of your conscience will be opened. God has given you a conscience. And every time you do something that's wrong, your conscience is pricked. Your conscience is troubled because you know you shouldn't have done that. And God will bring to your remembrance the book of your conscience. He will open that book and he will show you all those times when his Spirit strove with you. All those times whenever his Spirit pleaded with you and called you to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another book will be opened, and that's the book of God's divine memory. You see, dear friend, you might commit acts here upon this world that your spouse will never find out about, that your parents will never find out about, that your employer, your church family, they might never find out about. But there is one who sees everything. God looks upon this world and he can see the actions of every individual. God knows all that has happened in your life, and he will bring as a witness against you his divine memory and all your acts of sin against him. God himself will be a witness, dear friend, against you on that day of judgment. But then the Apostle John speaks about another book. There's these books that will be used as testimonies on that day of judgment. But there's another book, verse 12. John says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. He goes on to say in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Now this phrase, book of life, is used 8 times in scriptures. But what does it mean? Well, the book of life refers to those who belong to Christ. Those who have been redeemed by his precious blood. Those who are called by his grace into the kingdom of God. Very simply, believers have their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. What marks these people from other people? Why is their name in and the names of others are not? Well, those whose names are in the Book of Life have repented of their sins. They have turned from their sins. Those whose names are in the Book of Life have believed the gospel. They've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been converted. They've turned from their sinful ways. And they're now walking in obedience to the Savior. He is their Lord and Master. Dear friend, there will not be a name in the Lamb's Book of Life who has not repented and believed, who has not come to Christ and received him as Savior and Lord. So only those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life will be in heaven. Well, after these witnesses, these testimonies are brought before the judgment seat of Christ, the judge will then move to the judgment. And this is what will happen before the great white throne. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will judge us by the law. Have we obeyed the word of God, especially the gospel commands to repent and believe? He will judge, verse 12, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. There will be judgment. But the main thing that the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for, this one thing will separate the two camps of people, and it is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to believe God. Yes, there might be many people in heaven who have been poor at keeping the law of God, had terrible prayer lives, and know little of Scripture. But perhaps, like the dying thief, they've come in their final moments and believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They've had faith in Him. Dear friend, faith is the only quality that will, and the only attribute that the Saviour is looking for you before the great white throne. And then judgment will be passed. The Lord will judge those who have not believed, and then there will be a great separation. There will not be multiple different groups or camps. There will only be two. There will be separation before the throne. Matthew 25, verse 31, the Saviour says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Saviour will say to them, "Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And they will go into everlasting joy. They will go into heaven, that place of perfection, that place of peace and tranquility. They will be seated with the Lord Jesus Christ around his throne. They will sing praises unto him with all the holy angels. There will be no more darkness. There will be no sadness. There will not be any sorrow. There will not be a single tear shed in heaven. Heaven is a place of absolute perfection. There will be no more sin or temptations or trials. All whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life will go to heaven. But then the Saviour also says in verse 41 of Matthew 25, "Then shall he say also to them on the left, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So, dear friend, remember two camps. Those who have believed will go to heaven. Those who have not believed on Christ will not go to heaven. They will hear those words from the Saviour on his great white throne, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Dear friend, these are solemn words. We are told what the verdict will be on that day of judgment for those who have not believed. This will not be a surprise. This is not a hidden mystery. Many court cases today, the judge or jury goes out and they sit and deliberate for hours on end. And the accused is spending that time anxious, wondering what the verdict will be. We're told the verdict. "Depart ye cursed" will be the pronouncement upon all sinners who reject Christ. So, dear friend, if you're here tonight and you're rejecting Christ and you're wondering what it will be for you in the day of judgment, here it is. "Depart from me, ye cursed." And it's not because Christ has cursed you. You have cursed yourself by refusing to believe upon him and receive him as Saviour. There will be that separation. On that day, families will be separated. Adam and Eve and Abel will be on one side going into heaven, and Cain will be on the other side going into the lake of fire. David and Solomon will be there going into heaven together, but Absalom, the lost son, will be going into the lake of fire. Lot will be going into heaven. His wife will be going into the lake of fire. Peter, James, and John and the other disciples will be saved, but Judas Iscariot won't be joining them. The apostle Paul will be gathered to Christ, but Agrippa and Felix, as far as we know, will be together in the lake of fire. And dear friend, how will it be in your family? Perhaps you have loved ones who you know have believed in Christ, and you know that on that day of judgment they'll be going into heaven. But what will it be with you? Will you be joining them in heaven, or will you be lost forever in hell? The biggest separation will not just be family members, but it'll be separation from Christ. Oh, the believers will not be separated from him. They'll be with him forever. But sinners will be separated from him. Today they live in the day of grace. Today, dear friend, you live in the day of grace. But there's coming that day when his grace will come to you no more. Today he feeds you, he clothes you, he gives you gospel opportunities to repent. But there's coming that day when your Savior will, or the one who can be your Savior today, will be your judge. There will be punishment issued from this throne. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We often read whenever somebody goes before court and a judge, they're found guilty, and then the punishment is pronounced. So many years in prison, such a fine to pay. Well, here's the punishment for not believing the gospel. For not obeying the gospel call, the judgment is that you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Dear friend, this is God's wrath for sin. God cannot tolerate sin. He cannot abide your sin. If you will not repent for it, you will be punished. And this is the punishment that God has for sinners, the lake of fire. Can you think of anything more terrible than to be in a lake of fire for all eternity? From which there is no reprieve, no relief, no time out, and no escape. Well, coming to a close here this evening, you're maybe asking, when will all this happen? When is the day of judgment? Just so I can leave it a little longer before I come to Christ, so I can enjoy my season of sin. Well, the Bible tells us, as a thief in the night, the Bible doesn't tell you when, because it knows you would leave it late and later. The Bible tells you to prepare to meet thy God. Dear friend, you could pass away in your sleep tonight. You might not even make it in your journey home. So the Bible calls you to believe the gospel now. Behold, now is the accepted time. The one who is coming as judge is today a Savior. He is saving all who come to him. He made it possible through his death on the cross of Calvary. And he gives this glorious invitation to you tonight. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Savior calls you tonight to come to him. It's a comforting thing to know the judge. It's a comforting thing to know what will happen when you're before the judge. It's a comforting thing to know the judgment, the verdict, and what will be passed upon you. Well, the believers, although they have sinned, they will stand before the great white throne, and they will not face a second of punishment for their sin, because Christ paid it all on the cross of Calvary. But dear friend, if you haven't come to Christ, and you don't come to Christ, you will face God's wrath for your sin yourself. Let me say in closing, there's a throne that you can come to today. A throne of grace. Paul said in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. And dear friend, it's mercy you need. And you'll find mercy when you call upon the Lord to save you and forgive and pardon your sins, so that whenever you come to stand before the great white throne, you hear these words, come ye blessed of my Father.